morning. Today is Tuesday, November the 10th, 314th day of the new year. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Convention and Visitors Bureau Executive Director and coffee drinker, Tony Smithers.
Good morning, Brian. It is early, so coffee is necessary.
Well, I figured you were driving with the top down.
I could on a day like this.
Yeah. Well, you know, just dealing with frostbite before it happens. This morning, we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about Airbnb and how the travel industry changes. But before we do, our quote this morning comes from Frederick. Maybe Friedrich. Frederick? F-R-I-E-D. Friedrich.
Fried.
You think it's Fried?
I think it's Fried.
Okay. Von Schiller, sometime between 1759 and 1805, said, quote, "He that's overcautious will accomplish little."
Oh.
Oh.
The bold stroke.
Oh, well, you know, sometimes it's an overt action and sometimes you're forced, pushed, cajoled, drug.
Kicking and screaming.
Into change, yeah. Yeah, well, you know, sometimes we don't even recognize it's change, so we don't get screaming. We just kind of look back after 2 or 3 years and go, really?
Well,
look at that.
That's exactly what's happening to the travel industry right now.
Is it an internal force or is it an external force that's causing a reevaluation of everything?
Internal forces respond to external forces. But, you know, like all big change in America, it's market-driven. You know, the most recent one that everyone's been aware of is Airbnb and the sharing economy. But going back even further in history, back to 2002.
Oh, the old days.
The old days. Yes. When TripAdvisor was formed. Now TripAdvisor has become a major force in travel of all varieties.
So was that an unmet market demand from the consumers to vent? Or was this more driven from the industry itself and those associated with it saying we're tired of having the industry controlled, if you will, by 5 or 6 outside editors, you know, Fodor,
Lonely Planet, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, those kinds of folks that are out there that are trying to lay down the law and that they want everybody to kind of kneel, scrape, and bow to them.
Well, the interesting thing with TripAdvisor is that the founders of it created a company with a model of having a basically a different you know editorial approach to you know travel review and advising.
So it wasn't Frommer and his family; it was
just their own stable of experts. But the original business model did allow a part on their website for people to share and experiences and make reviews. That took off in such a way that it completely changed their business model and then changed the travel industry as well.
We'll talk about what those impacts are for tomorrow. It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time is 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Tony Smithers. Tony, so the sand of marketing, or sands of marketing, are
shifting sands
underneath the feet. Yeah. So how does that play out? I would think with some of these folks, my biggest fear with some of these various entities that are out there with, I don't know if they're websites with blogs or blog sites with web presence, is that nothing is vetted.
Sure.
And we've seen those issues come back and be extraordinarily problematic locally in a whole bunch of areas. And now we've got an industry that's kind of moving over.
Oh, not just travel, but it's particularly visible in travel.
Right, right. I mean, I look at national news.
I mean, well, look at Wikipedia. I mean, that's the number one source of information now.
Yeah, so, which is unvetted.
Well, it's peer-reviewed, you know.
Yeah, right.
And that's what people think this travel discourse is about, too. That when you go on TripAdvisor, you're going to receive the wisdom of the group rather than the wisdom of the expert. So it's in terms of, let's compare it to, you're a marketing guy, compare it to research. Are you going to do, primary research, intervention studies, or, you know, data crunching like that? Or are you going to do the Delphi model, where you just put a group of experts in a room and see what they think? You know, historically, the Delphi model tends to be pretty accurate, because the experts generally know what they're talking about.
Yeah, as long as you hit a quality level of those experts.
Right.
So they're viable. Yeah.
But and so that's how travel's definitely Delphi model for years, you know, since Mark Twain wrote Innocents Abroad. It's about the expert who went to the place and shares his personal experience. But now we're moving into the, I guess you'd call it, a primary and secondary, you know, research model, where you're going to get a lot of opinions aggregated. And, you know, some sort of score will appear, and, you know, you're going to try and figure out how you fit into that.
So let's look at a startup business, because I think those are the ones that are most, they perceive at least the need to jump out, to make a splash, to get something going, to get buzz on the street, to talk, that kind of stuff. Okay, so somebody goes to one of these sites, and there's nothing there. Okay, is that a negative? I would suggest it probably is.
Yeah, there's a chicken and egg issue with any new business.
So how does that individual kind of get things rolling a little bit and not be subject to green mail and threats and things of that nature for people who want to get out in front? And if you're one of, let's say, under 1,000 reviews, you can hold these guys hostage.
You can.
Really quickly.
You can, and it's been done.
So how do you balance that
sure.
out of this other, which seems to be what everybody's looking
for? Yeah, I think it does, you know, make the case that traditional marketing still has a role, and you still can gain, you know, customer share, market share, and recognition by advertising, by promotions, by, you know, social media as well, because, you know, there are channels where you can be the instigator of the message rather than just the subject of it. but particularly in that, this whole consumer review space like TripAdvisor and others, the best operators are those who have not fought against it but have embraced it and used it. And
try to manage it a little
bit. Try to manage it. So basically, never let a review go unanswered, whether it's positive or negative. This has been a process. In fact, there was a study in Ireland recently where they looked at the basic issues of customer service and complaint and yada, yada, yada. They found that the overall level of quality and service improved across their hospitality industry because of TripAdvisor.
So how do you monitor? I mean, if you're the big boys, you know, they got departments. Let's say you're mom and pop B&B. How do you manage? I mean, you're already going 12, 16 hours a day.
Yeah.
You're already trying to do everything that you can. How are you going to carve out time now to sit there and monitor the internet and all the various things and then respond to whatever the comments are? Or if you're a new startup retailer in the tourist industry, t-shirt guy.
How
can you physically do this
stuff?
It
has been... You know, that's been a problem for a lot of folks, but then they get to the point where they realize it's a core activity, and it's just as important as doing the books, paying the taxes, stocking the shelves, or whatever. You gotta allocate the resources to it. That's just what you have to do if you want to be in the business.
So this really could break some businesses early on if they don't have enough financial wherewithal to stay it until the revenue or cash flow starts.
You can bootstrap it. You can stay up late. You can find a college student. There's lots of ways to go around, you know, being in there.
And then I suppose it puts a lot of emphasis on how you respond.
Yep.
You know, particularly considering how people have flash words. Thanks for your input instead of thanks for your comment. Some people are probably going to perceive one far more favorably than the other.
Yes.
And have a reaction, nothing intended.
What the industry learned pretty quick was that, you know, even though it's a different media, the customer is still always right. You have to help them with the situation, but you can't attack them. And generally, the sense is the group wisdom will identify if there is a whack job out there. But what people want to see and what is proven to be most successful is to show that you're proactive. So if the...
Proactive or reactive?
Well, proactive in solving a problem. Yeah, yes, someone brought it to your attention. But you're not going to be just sitting there letting it happen. You're going to say, we have a plan for fixing that. This is what we're going to do.
KINS, news and information time. It's 8:30. We'll be back with more from Tony Smithers.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, news and information time is 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning. Vista morning? Okay.
Whatever.
This Vista morning with Tony Smithers. I wonder how many people are driving around with foggy windshields this morning.
Not up on the hill. It was beautiful.
Well, it wasn't cold?
Reasonably.
Yeah, okay. You didn't have to throw water on the windshield?
No.
Oh, I did. Didn't have to. Okay, fine. This whole concept, Tony, of another marketing avenue, one would tend to think that if that existed in a classroom setting, okay, you've got now two marketing outreaches. It's going to cost you twice as much.
Mm.
Okay. Does one replace the other? Has it supplanted the other? Is what I'm not seeing billboards not with hotels and motels on it. But now I'm hearing Airbnb in Limbaugh, or I guess Premier, on the Salem Network, the four or five guys that we carry, CBS News. I mean, this new avant-garde thing is running like gangbusters into radio.
Sure.
But I'm not hearing the traditional guys.
Well, you
know, Motel 6, and that's about it.
Uh-huh.
Using that medium. So are they trying to zig where the other guys are zagging? What's going on here?
Well, I'd be concerned if I had a traditional brand right now. I think a lot of them are very concerned.
It doesn't have value anymore?
It does. It certainly has value, but people are nibbling away at that value, right? And so it starts off with a company, let's say Airbnb in this instance, who identifies an unmet need. You know, there's a demand out there amongst the traveling public for a different kind of product. You know, a homestay, something unique and really local and authentic, right?
Is it an extension of B&B, or is it cheap?
It started off as cheap. It was couch surfing. Now it is executive vacation, Ocean View Homes, as well, and it's lofts and inner city places that are right in the middle of everything.
So kind of like B&B condo and anything else that you want.
It could be a tent or a yurt or a cave. I mean, it's everything. There's even someone in New York who rents out a yellow taxi to sleep in. And puts it anywhere you want it, and is quite successful at it. I know you. Your eyes are rolling in disbelief.
No, I mean, you know, at least a limo.
So your question is very good. What does the traditional, you know, lodging industry, how do they respond to this? And I don't think anyone has that answer yet. They're trying to figure out what's going on first. What is it that these people are looking for that we could possibly provide to them? Can we change our product in any way to make it more unique, personable, funky, you know, hip? You know, what can we do?
Doesn't it all boil down to an experience?
Yeah, very much so, yeah.
Okay, well, so a punch-out room in the middle of downtown Atlanta isn't going to give you much of a different experience than the same different tower, perhaps, in New York or Chicago or L.A. or San Francisco.
Yeah, but the lodging industry has a long history of innovation in providing fantastic experiences on their properties. They can do all kinds of things in terms of the ambiance, the service, the entertainment, the amenities. You know, everything can be played with.
So do they have to ramp that up? Is that what's going on? Are they ramping up those ancillary so that you don't have to go outside to experience whatever that they're looking to have you experience?
No, I think it's still about being a home base for the destination. You know, unless it's a resort, of course, all-inclusive resorts, they don't want you to put your nose out the door.
But, or if you're on a boat.
Or, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't put your nose out that door. No, but it's really, you know, how can we change our product to sort of get back a piece of that share that we're losing to the sharing economy?
There's been some discussion also that a lot of this is kind of a black market experience, that a lot of these B&Bs are, they've got certain standards, they've got certain health that's covered, they've got
licensing,
all these various
yeah.
things, permitting, and bed tax.
Yep.
Okay. Has that been settled yet?
No. That's Wild West out there. It's different in every part of the country. In some places, for instance, Airbnb has written agreements with local government to be what they call the operator. So they are collecting the bed tax and submitting it to local government.
So everything's kind of running through that one
right.
entity.
But it's not all, you know, wonderful, because they insist on what they're calling a black box arrangement, which is they'll send you a check, but they won't tell you who they collected it from. So local government still has no idea who's out there.
So it's like PG&E and the grow houses.
Yes.
In Arcata.
Yeah. So they
love that analogy, huh?
So, but in some cases, they'll say, okay, well, let's get the revenue at least, and then we'll worry about figuring out how to regulate and make sure this is, you know, properly regulated industry.
Well, I suppose there's a simple way to take care of that. You just raise the fines up horrendously if you're operating without a business license and outside the proper zone.
Well, that's...
And then you find two or three people and they pay through the teeth and everybody else then comes into compliance because of the risk factor.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tough way to do it, though.
That would be tough.
Yeah.
And sort of un-American, but go ahead.
No, I don't know. I remember mm-hmm. stories about people swinging from tree branches. Back in our history. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:42. Not suggesting that. We'll be back with more from Tony Smithers.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Tony Smithers. So, Tony, with all of the stuff that's going out, the shifting that's going on, what does that mean to Humboldt, Del Norte, in our region? Are we immune from this? Are we key strategy for this? What does it mean locally?
Well, we're not immune from it, certainly. There are two sides of it. You know, how deep are we in already? And how do we need to change what we do? So,
as a community, as
well, I'm thinking
industries.
I'm thinking from the industry and okay, the marketing of it, and
the travel industry, or just the lodging segment of the travel industry.
Well, where lodging goes, the rest follows in many ways.
Retail will be here. Lodging, yes.
Yeah.
Restaurants are
They're often dependent, more or less so, on some lodging. You know,
on the traveler.
On traveler, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you look at just like, say, the number of Airbnb hotelbeds.com, vacation rental by owner, there's a whole bunch of that sort of sharing economy models, and it's probably something like 10% of our current room sales are controlled through those models. Those
10% of the market, or 10% of the potential inventory
of the market. So, you know, our lodging market is pushing $60 million a year. So probably 6 million or at least is going to those. So that's not insignificant. That's of some concern. But the other issue that, you know, I'm struggling with every day is, you know, the way people research and buy travel is changing, and the old ways of doing things are not necessarily going to be the most effective. We're still always struggling with minimal resources to get the job done. So, but it's interesting. I've been asking myself, just as printed publications were once considered the be-all end-all. You had to have your travel brochure. Then we thought, oh, well, we're going to go to a paperless society and everything's going to be on the web. And we did shift and put a lot of resources into the web. And guess what? Oh, we're still printing brochures because there is a place for that and a demand
for that. It's an extension, not a replacement.
Right. Yeah. So I'm wondering if the same thing is going to happen to your basic travel website. It's something you have to have and keep up. But your resources and your attention has to be spent on sharing economy, social media, and the travel aggregators who have the share of market that really do impact where people go and what they do.
Well, it'll be interesting, at least from my perspective, to see if Airbnb has the same success stories that Motel 6 had,
right,
15 years ago. And to see, then you throw in the traditional media, and now I think you're going to have to pick and choose. I don't think anybody's going to be able to be everywhere as might have been affordable in the past.
No, you're absolutely right.
Game on, baby.
Game on. Yeah.
Thanks for coming by.
My pleasure.
We've been Talking Shop with Tony Smithers. Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you then.